On this episode of the AthoraCast, I sit down with Georgia World Congress Center Authority's Chief Commercial Officer, Joe Bocker, to talk about a year that started off quickly, and it doesn't look like we'll be slowing down anytime soon or even in the next few years, really. I talked to Joe earlier this month, coming off of a couple of pretty big football games and back-to-back-to-back events during the month of January, as well as some weather events you might have heard about. How'd we handle all that, and what's on the horizon for our campus and the entertainment district right outside the doors of GWCC? Well, listen in and find out. Joe, thanks for joining me for a few minutes just to talk about, you know, all things GWCCA from the Chief Commercial Officer side of things. Appreciate it.
Of course. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so 2025 started off with a bang, really. You know, we had a football game here on campus with FanFest and all that kind of stuff the first day of the year, and then January just seemed like it was event after event. What was that kind of like from your perspective? And, you know, I mean, that's just the first of many things coming up this year, next year, all the way to the Super Bowl in 2028.
Yeah, no, it's we were just joking around the other day that, hey, well, man, 25 was a great year. We're like, oh, it's just January. It was a long month, a great month. A lot of things that have been on the books for quite some time, but we knew coming into the holidays, you know, told everybody get some rest, and we're gonna hit out of the gates here pretty strong. we kicked right off with our good friends from DSC, which is a Dallas Safari Club that, you know, moved over here this year, was their first year, and signed a 5-year deal with us while the Dallas Convention Center is going under construction. And so we worked hard with these guys really for about past 18 months to put on a great event. We did have that little bit of that white stuff that fell out of the sky and slowed us down for a bit, but we had a great plan in place and executed against it. But yeah, we went right from Dallas Safari Club. Boat Show was in on top of them, and they really collaborated great together. Those were, they thought they would have an opportunity to work together, and they did. I think they shared a lot of customers back and forth. So it was a great week, great weekend. And then, from there, we prepared for that little football game that you said. CFP was a great success. Two great teams, Notre Dame and Ohio State, and they travel well, filled the city up. I mean, it was hotels full, flights were full, cars, rental companies, restaurants. I mean, you name it. The city was jamming. Again, a little bit cold, but nothing that those two teams weren't used to. That's what we were joking around saying, you know, just the way we go Southern hospitality, we brought the weather here for you. And they got a kick out of that. But we're, you know, they're used to cold weather games. But CFP was fantastic. And then as that was moving out, our great partners and friends from International Poultry Processing Expo were moving in. So we finished up IPP last week. They had record attendance. They were up over 31,000 people and 600,000 net square feet of space, took the whole building. The campus was jamming, the weather broke. So again, took care of that weather for them. January was, as we look at the clock, I have February 4th already. So January was a great way to start the year. And now we really keep going. I mean, it's nonstop here for a little while. We'll be rolling into cheer sport here shortly, which, will bring 100,000 people through the building in 2.5 days for a cheering competition. So that's always a fun one. And Varsity Sports are amazing partners of ours too, you know, and they're back here annually. So it's busy.
It's funny you mentioned the weather too, because I was laughing. I think it was game day coming up the escalator over there at the MARTA station and looking around, and it was me and a few other people, you know, whether from GWCC or, across the street at MBS. We're all bundled up in our jackets, and there was a guy on the escalator in front of us wearing jeans and a hoodie. That was it. I looked at my phone and it said it felt like 9 degrees or something. Yeah. And I said, wait, okay. It was an Ohio State hoodie. So I said, okay, I guess they're used to it.
That's right.
But you mentioned kind of the shows working together with Boat Show and DSC. That was one thing I kind of wanted to dive into just a little bit. You know, whenever there's not on top of each other, but you know, you said they kind of shared shared attendees, things like that. I mean, how does that work? Because then with CFP, there was also Little Big South over in Building C. So I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces, and for me, it just kind of blows my mind that hey, there's 15,000-20,000 people over in Building C, and then there's all these college football fans in Building A. So I mean, how does that kind of work around, maybe with planning, or just how do people work together to make that kind of go off without a hitch?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's planning. So that's really the key word. You know, when these conventions hit the books, you know, one thing our vice president of sales, Kim Allison, does a great job at is, you know, making sure that everybody knows who's in the building, who's around. You know, are there opportunities to market together? At the end of the day, everybody's looking to drive attendance. You know, it doesn't matter what show it is. They want, you know, the most exhibitors they can gain, and they want the most attendance walking through the doors and, you know, patronizing those folks and filling up the city. So, you know, you look at DSC, too many acronyms, DSC and the boat show. You know, we started that a while back. You know, we knew the boat show was here. And one night out at dinner with our DSC folks, we said, you know, hey, we think there's a cross, you know, opportunity here with marketing together. And, you know, a lot of, you know, you got to remember DSC is all about hunting, fishing, everything. So immediately made that connection with the boats and folks fishing in the Southeast. And they reached out to one another and, you know, did some joint ads, some joint marketing back and forth to their attendees. And so, you know, it was really grassroots efforts of just letting people know, hey, this is going on in the building as well. You might want to stop over here and see this. When you're done with that, you might want to pop over to this show. And they did a great job on it. So I think, you know, they're aligned together moving forward for next couple of years as well. So I only anticipate it's going to get better as they have more time to market and think through different ways to attract each other's database, if you will. So, you know, and in CFP and Little Big South, you know, it was that was a nice pairing as well, as nervous as Little Big South might have been, and we all were a little bit, because, you know, the groups like CFP, the Super Bowl, amazing partners, but, you know, they come in and they really take over the footprint. And what we wanted to do is make sure that Little Big South didn't get lost in that. And, you know, Lori and Randy D'Agostino, the owners of the Big South, they're just great friends, great partners. And, you know, we went to them early on and said, you know, listen, you know, let's let everybody know CFP's in town. You know, hey, when your girls aren't playing volleyball, you might want to go down and enjoy Fan Fest. You know, and I think they worked with them on, you know, different activities to do over there, and you know, to come in and you know, be a part of Fan Fest. You know, it's a, that's the beauty of these Fan Fests. It's really for anybody, from kids to adults. I mean, I went in there and I felt like I wanted to go run the 40-yard dash, and I knew I wouldn't walk for a week, so I stayed away from that. But you know, there's something to do for everybody, and I think you know, the folks that market these events are very smart. And I, you know, what we can do is play that connection role for them and just make sure that, you know, we're sharing what's going on, and then we really let them kind of run with it. You know, we have resources through the Atlanta Convention Visitors Bureau, and we put things on our websites and different things like that. You know, and but outside of that, you know, they're really the ones saying, you know, what can we do? And we make the connections and get those people together to talk. So, and we'll try to do that with everybody that's in the building. I think we learned a long time ago, you know, being as transparent as we can with everything only drives better results. No one likes to be surprised unless it's your birthday or something. And sometimes people don't even like that. So, you know, we live a lot by let's eliminate surprises for our customers, and let's make sure that people know what's going on around campus. And I think that really pans out favorably for us.
Gotcha. And I'm sure with the weather in January, it was probably nice for some of the attendees, or even, you know, the folks that were working on the show, to stay in the Signia by Hilton Atlanta at Georgia World Congress Center. You know, and it's been a year now. I mean, even just having that connection there, I'm sure that was great for them. Or, you know, whenever it's really hot outside. I don't know. I'm from South Louisiana. Heat doesn't bother me that much. But, you know, I mean, just what's that been like, having that connection there, and then just the overall kind of reception from customers, attendees, everything with, you know, the first year of the hotel?
Sure. Yeah, it's crazy to think that we're a year into this already. We opened January 24. I mean, so it's been a game changer. Yeah, you know, I know it feels like it's an overused word sometimes, and trying to figure out what the next best word is, but it really is a game changer for our hotel footprint in Atlanta. You know, we've been blessed for years here with Omni attached to Building A, who are just, you know, great partners, great hotel, and we knew that if we could bookend the other side of the campus with this Signia, it was going to be something special. There's not a lot of convention centers out there that can offer that. There's a few of them that have hotels connected and attached, but you know, we have a 1,000-room hotel on both ends. And when we take that to market, customers want to be able to walk. Walkability is key. Anytime we can, you know, eliminate expenses for the customers via buses, transportation, and people could be on foot, it speaks to them. And we've seen that just through the reception of the hotel. I mean, it's they are loving the fact that you can walk, to your point, out of the lobby into Building C. You could come across the top, short little connection there into Building B. And you know, that coupled with the Omni has been allowed us to capture, you know, almost a couple thousand people without ever leaving our building. And then if you go just across Centennial Olympic Park, you know, we've got the Westin, work your way up to the Hyatt, the Marriott, the Hilton, everything in between there. So, you know, we're close to approaching 13,000 rooms, you know, walkable or within a mile of our campus, so in the building. So that's been, it's been very well received, and that's showing through leads now out into the future. And we've been talking about this hotel for 10 years. I've been here 8, and it's been a part of my world every day, and continues to be. But you know, the hotel came out of the gates extremely strong. You know, we're going to keep building occupancy. That's very common when you open a hotel, that, you know, occupancy is going to take a little bit of time to grow for people to realize that, hey, that's there. Some people come to games at the stadium or State Farm, and, you know, if people don't come downtown often, they don't know the hotel's there. You know, so we're seeing a really, really big impact on the leisure traveler, folks coming just to get downtown for a night, coming to a game, coming to a concert, coming to a convention or a show. And now they have another option, you know, which I like to say, you know, oceanfront property, you know, right here. So we're very proud of the performance of the hotel in year one, and continue, really expecting to see that continue well into the future here. 25 is shaping up to be a great year. We just had an amazing January that we talked about, and that hotel was a big part of all of the conventions and sporting events that we just mentioned.
Yeah, and you brought up getting leads just a second ago. I mean, I've seen behind the curtain a little bit on the process, but I mean, what's it like, say somebody's got, you know, a show they're expecting 30,000, 40,000 people or something like that. They go about looking at spaces. I mean, I'm sure if it's that big of a show, they've heard about us, but I mean, you know, what's that process kind of like from, I guess, inquiry till, you know, show day? And I mean, I'm sure that could be an hour long answer, but
it, you know, it really could. I'll try to summarize it
or something.
Yeah. I'll try to summarize it for you. So, you know, we work very closely with our partners at the Atlanta Convention Visitors Bureau. So we have a dedicated sales team here on property at Georgia World Congress Center. The Atlanta Convention Visitors Bureau has a dedicated sales team that is, they're out trying to bring conventions, leisure, tourism, everything they can into Atlanta. So a lot of our conventions work 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years out. So the lead time can vary. You know, short term for us is inside of 24 or 36 months. I mean, you know, and then the average is probably 4 to 5 years. And then many leads today are coming in 6, 7, 8 years out. You know, so to your point, yes, a lot of conventions that are of a certain size have to fit in Orlando, Vegas, Chicago, Atlanta, Houston, you know, Anaheim. You know, there's a small list of convention centers that can handle, call it, let's get up to 1 million square feet of space that somebody needs or whatever. So that's a small pool of people. And a lot of these conventions rotate around the country. So they want destination in the north. You know, they might want something in the northwest, southeast, you know, southwest, middle. Some folks just go west coast, east coast. We'll fall into that east coast bucket, as will Orlando, sometimes Indianapolis, Chicago, just depending on how they split the country. So, you know, these leads can take, they could take years to come to life, and then some of them move very, very quickly. But, you know, back to your original question, the sourcing comes through many ways. There's a lot of third-party meeting planning companies out there that might work with Coca-Cola or Home Depot or Delta. They use a platform. Most of them today are on a platform called Cvent, which is a sourcing tool. That lead will go to us, It could go to Atlanta Conventions Bureau. It can go to every convention center on the East Coast with the push of a button. You know, so then our team and the convention bureau talk daily, weekly. Hey, did you see this lead that came in from XYZ company? We should go after this. Do we have the dates available that they're asking for? We'll check dates real quick. Yes, convention center is available. And then the CVB will kind of run point on that from that point. They'll send out another lead to all the hotels saying, what do you have available over these dates? What kind of room block could you commit? We need 5,000 rooms on peak night. We need 6,000 rooms on peak night. We need 10,000 rooms on peak night. So the CVB will act as the gatherer of that information. Once that's all baked, our sales team will put together a proposal with our partners here on what convention center space looks like, food and beverage, your electrical needs, your IT needs, what kind of parking, you know, and then we build a really well put together, beautiful proposal, and we'll send that off to the customer, and then the process begins. You know, the customer might get 10 responses back. They'll eventually tell you, hey, we're still sifting through proposals, and then they usually get to a short list. Maybe it's 3-4 cities, and then they'll get on an airplane and go visit all of these markets. And that's when, you know, you probably see here in a building all the time, hey, we got 5 site visits in this week. And that's probably the outcome of one of those leads that we worked on for quite some time. And now they're coming to see if everything we told them is true, real, and what does it look like? You know, and then it just evolves from there. You know, so they'll, you know, typically, you know, cut it down to 3, might cut it down to 2, cut it down to eventually 1 and award a certain city the business. So, you know, that's probably an abbreviated version of what it looks like. Sometimes it goes deeper too. A lot of customers will lean on us if they need something through the legislative, you know, avenue. If they, you know, we'll get the airport involved on certain leads. You know, they might want to partner with Delta from a group standpoint. Can Delta offer them any deals to fly into Atlanta? You know, and so on and so on. We'll work with our venues. We'll work with the stadium, the arena, restaurants, you know, and a lot of that falls under the convention bureau world. But, you know, we try to position ourselves as one sales team the best we can to prospective customers. And that's one thing we hear over and over that Atlanta does really, really well is, you know, we play nice in the sandbox together. Our goal is to earn the trust and earn the business for Atlanta. And then we all put our best foot forward as they begin to arrive in our destination.
And so it takes, you know, years and years of build up to get to the experience, which is kind of the thing that, you know, people like me who just show up and document things, yeah, we right. see the experience of it, you know, and we talk yeah. about experiences a lot here. I mean, just how do we kind of make sure that we're creating those experiences for the customer? Because I'm sure there's different needs for different groups, and just how does that kind of work around and make sure that, you know, they're having the best experience they can, them and, you know, the attendees?
Yeah, great question. I mean, it's, you know, it's from beginning to end. And I mean, for us, the experience starts on how do we respond to the lead? You know, we try to separate ourselves very quickly with attention to detail, Southern hospitality, being easy to do business with. That's a big one for us. We talk a lot about it as a sales organization is how are we easy to do business with? Customers want to be able to not spend their entire world lives trying to book an event. You know, do we have the right tools? Do we have the right platforms online? Do we offer solutions? You know, hey, we had a similar group in to your size a couple of years ago. Let me share with you a little bit about what they did. Sparks ideas, and they might say, hey, you know what? Let's do exactly that. No need to reinvent the wheel. So we're constantly trying to help them create these experiences. You know, you look around our campus here and you see construction going on everywhere. And, you know, we're looking out at master planning into 2030 and beyond. And yet, you know, we partner a lot with Freeman, who is one of the largest decorators out there and global, you know, and they provide a report, you know, every quarter about the insights of the traveler. What are people looking for today in exhibits? What are they looking for in destinations? What are they looking for in a convention center? You know, so we're constantly challenging ourselves to say, do we have the right experiential places on our campus that are different that people want to meet in? The days of sitting in a ballroom for 8 hours listening to a general session speaker is becoming a thing of the past. You know, they want networking. They want to be seen. They want to be in green space. They want to be in well-lit spaces with sunlight. Networking, I just said, is a massive one. Where, when these general sessions break, you know, and people have 2-3 hours, do we have the cool little pods somewhere for people to go sit, have a drink, do business, you know, and then get back to the meeting or get back down to the exhibit floor? You know, so one of the things we're going to, you know, continue to chase down here, not only in our building, but around the campus, is what do those experiential moments look like? And when you think about experiential, could be something as simple as all the entertainment that's getting built right out of our front door here with Centennial Yards across the street. And I know you're going to be speaking with Brian McGowan later. Very, very exciting project, $6 billion project. Happening right adjacent to our campus. And State Farm Arena, you know, just went under their redo a few years ago. Mercedes-Benz is constantly upgrading their facility. We're looking internally at some of our own entertainment projects on Home Depot backyard and up out front on International Plaza on top of the Red Deck. CNN Center is getting a facelift and putting in new restaurants and, you know, a high-end bar and such inside there. So I think experiences can be all of that. You know, we used to hear here in Atlanta that, oh, there's nothing to do, the streets roll up at 5 o'clock. I can tell you that might have been that way 25 years ago when I worked here to start my career, but it is not that way today. There are so many great little pockets and neighborhoods and destinations throughout our town that right now are a quick 5-minute Uber away. And I think when you get into 27 and 28, which is just a short 2 years, 3 years away, a lot of this stuff is going to be right out our front door, which only increases our experiential package. Yeah, you know, so again, I know that's a long answer, but it's one of those where, you know, it really does come down to what's in your building and what's outside your building, and what are we providing for these attendees and these show managers to come in and enjoy. You know, you probably heard the term bleisure over time, you know, which is, you know, it's people coming here for work and leisure, and they're blending work and leisure together. And that's our goal. We want to see people come and stay in Atlanta longer, add another night, add another 2 nights on the front end, back end, and enjoy what this city has to offer, you know, when you have a moment to get out of the convention center. So for us, everything happening outside of our doors is equally as important to what's going on inside.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up with Centennial Yards and then, you know, what's happening just outside the doors. Like you mentioned, I'm going to talk to Brian McGowan here soon. But I mean, is that something that's maybe an outlier in the industry, having, you know, what this will be in the next few years? Is that something special here? Is that, I don't know. Is that something that'll kind of set us apart? And then also, I mean, it's like you mentioned, people saying they didn't know the hotel was here when they come in for a football game. You know, that may be some place to come, stay, hang out, have a good time all day, you know, not just come in for the game or come in for a convention and then head back to Buckhead or wherever you're going.
Yeah, I think outlier is a good word. You know, there's certain destinations out there that people know have things to do, right? If it came to the top of your mind quick, it's New Orleans, right? It's Las Vegas. And then from there, the list gets pretty small. You know, you'll go to Orlando, but even in Orlando, Disney's not next to the convention center.
Sure.
Got a lot of hotels, couple restaurants, and otherwise you're hopping in a cab or whatever to go to downtown Disney and go do your thing. And then, you know, to your point, these entertainment districts, the magnitude of the one being built here will be like unlike anything else in North America. I think, you know, this concept started back with LA Live, which is probably 20 years old now. I don't even know. It goes back a ways. But, you know, LA Live was something really, really special when it started. And then you start to see other markets begin to try to copycat that. But the resources, the planning, the capital, the money, the things that go into building a destination like that is massive. And so the fact that ours is launched already, and you'll hear from Brian share more about that, it's happening here. It's no longer a, hey, this would be great if we could. It's happening right outside our doors. And so I think when you take the footprint and just the pure acreage of this entertainment district sitting out our front door, we're going to look to connect to them. They're going to look to connect back to us. You know, that's a big word that we're using a lot of today too, is connectivity. We know connectivity is everything. How do we create a safe, easy walking environment that people can just move around, get lost, you know, and get lost in an easy way, get lost in, man, I didn't realize, hold on, I was just over here at International Plant, now I'm over here. And it was an easy walk. It was well lit. It was safe. There was something fun going on all around me. And I think that's what you're going to see here when, as this becomes real and comes to fruition over the next, you know, call it 3 to 4 years. There's going to be different phases of this opening, and you'll see some of it probably up and ready to go for FIFA in 26. You're going to see probably 2/3 of it done and ready to go by the time the Super Bowl comes here in 28. And then you'll see the finishing touches going on before the end of this decade. And as I said earlier, 5 years is not very long term for us. I think back to your question, it is an outlier, and it's going to really, really put Atlanta in a category by itself when it comes to just the size of what's going on around us, coupled with our convention center and hotel package. It's going to be pretty special.
And since it's not all GWCCA property, just kind of how are we working with Centennial Yards and the center, CNN Center, and just different properties around that are getting a little facelift or, you know, adding different things? How do we work together to make sure that it's not, you know, a burger joint in every spot?
No, that comes back to communication, you know, that word we talked about earlier. It's myself and Kevin Duvall, our CEO, have regular routine meetings with the leadership at all the places you just mentioned. So we've been over to see Brian McGowan a handful of times. We're going to continue to work through his team monthly, quarterly, for updates. We work with Andrew Saltzman, Chief Revenue and President and Sales Officer over at State Farm. You know, Tim Zalowski, President over at MBS, and Rich McKay and their leadership team. Communication's everything right now for us. We're trying to create an umbrella organization, if you will. It may never get a name. It may never be anything official. But we're putting ourselves in a room at least monthly, having a quick phone call, check in. You know, hey, what are you guys doing? What are you hearing? What are you seeing? Same thing with the gentlemen that are with the CP group over at CNN. You know, we're trying to put our best team forward to avoid exactly what you just said. We don't need 5 Mexican restaurants and 6 dueling piano bars. And, you know, we want to make sure the left knows what the right's doing and the right knows what the left's doing. And again, from a customer perspective, the customer doesn't care who owns it, you know, whose property am I on. They want to be able to connect. I want to be able to walk from the campus over to Centennial Yards, back into CNN, over to Centennial Olympic Park, into our Signia, into the Omni, into the stadium, and create a seamless, well-lit, pedestrian-friendly, lots of signage, lots of great wayfinding, lots of digital packages that are going to put you in something special, something that doesn't exist today, not only in Atlanta, but really in the country.
And you mentioned the connectivity. Is that one of the biggest draws here that you hear from customers or attendees or anything, you know, about the city of Atlanta and especially Georgia World Congress Center? I mean, is that one of the biggest things? Because that was kind of what I figured we could end on. Just what's the biggest draw, I guess, that people are looking for that we've got?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I certainly would put connectivity up at the top, you know, and you can think of connectivity in many ways. We're talking about it today just on our campus, right? But you think about connectivity to the airport. You could hop on MARTA, you could catch a quick Uber, you could grab whatever your mode of transportation is. It's 20 minutes away, 15, 20 minutes away from baggage claim, and you're smack down in the middle of our campus. Connectivity to the hotel district. You know, we're doing a lot of work right now with Mayor Dickens and his staff, and really working to beautify and clean up the pedestrian walkways through downtown. So we have a group that's meeting fairly regularly on, you know, as we look up Andrew Young Boulevard up to Peachtree Street, Peachtree Street over to Baker, you know, and all those corridors. You know, we kind of joke around with the yellow brick road down to Georgia World Congress Center. but it's important. What does it feel like as I'm connecting from Peachtree Street down through the beautiful Centennial Olympic Park onto our campus? What does it feel like? What does it smell like? What does it look like? Is it pretty? Are there flowers? Does it have a nice scent? Is it well lit? Lighting is another massive one. Connectivity. Safety is always going to be the most paramount, number one before anything. We're like any other major city. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. Everybody has the same challenges. You know, it might be homelessness. It might be, you know, whatever, just little petty thefts going on here and there. At the end of the day, every major city in America experiences that. For us, it's about how do we react to it, sure, and how do we prevent it. And I think the team of people right now between the state level, the city level, our own police force, which I think, again, is something no one else has in this country. And we have our own police force here on campus. Not only are they connected with the precincts and everyone around us, it's, you know, they're talking, they're radioing in together, our camera systems talk to one another. We have a clear advantage on that. And I think as all of this continues to come together and you see this massive entertainment project open, safety is first and foremost on everybody's mind. And then you couple that with the events that we have coming up, FIFA, World Cup, just came off CFP, you know, next to a presidential inauguration or something, they're probably the most highly secured events in the world today, mm-hmm. FIFA and the Super Bowl. I mean, so, you know, we have everybody's attention. And I think now it's how do we capitalize on that and prepare for those events, take those best practices as we, you know, roll into those events and put them into our day-to-day. And customers see that. Customers hear that. They are extremely impressed with our emergency preparedness team led by Mark Vincent on our team and our command center that's just state-of-the-art with camera technology and the ability to speak and know and have eyes everywhere. Customers feel safe when they come here. So I think the more we continue to invest in that technology and in people and couple and pair ourselves to the best of our ability with these major events coming in, we're going to see ourselves in a really good spot on the safety connectivity piece of downtown Atlanta.
Beautiful. Exciting. 5, 10, 50, who knows how many years.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, cool. I think that's all I got. I appreciate your time, Jeff.
No, thank you. It's great to be here. Happy to do it.
So there's some big stuff on the horizon for Georgia World Congress Center Authority and our neighbors. Exciting things going on right now as you're listening and in the very near future. Thanks again to Joe for taking some time to chat with me. He mentioned Brian McGowan during our conversation. He's the president of Centennial Yards, our friends and neighbors right across Centennial Olympic Park Drive. They've got some pretty awesome stuff going on right now and plenty more in the works. Next episode, I'll be sitting down with Brian to talk through some of the cool stuff going on over at Centennial Yards. So follow the show. You won't want to miss it. This has been a production of Georgia World Congress Center Authority. Until next time, thanks for hanging out with us.